So we're looking at evoking the victory mood. How many of you remember that conversation? We're looking at evoking the victory mood, and we had an amazing climax on Wednesday, and I just felt I should add one or two things. How many of us were blessed by that word that God brought to us on Wednesday? If you're blessed, can you wave your hand? All right. And so, and this was what we started from, and the point here was that, Father, we know that your spirit will take over this communication and conversation this morning, and that there will be light in our hearts. Praise God. You know, when you are under the ministry of the word, one of the things you should trust God for is impartation. Amen. The impartation of the word, so that you will not be like that one who looks at the law of liberty, you know, and forgets, you know, what he saw, remains the same. Are we together here? There ought to be practical shift in your life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Glory be to God. And then the point we're making here last Wednesday was that our victory or our triumph has, there's a type of triumph that we have, and it says that it is always. And this is the mindset the Lord will want you to have, that God leads us in triumph, and it is always. Glory be to God. God leads us in triumph, and it is what?
Always.
Always. So, how frequent do you win?
Always.
Always. Now, you have to arm yourself with this truth. You have to, this is the how to engage life. Knowing that your triumph is always. And it's not just an outcome of the battle. Amen. Triumphing for you is not just what you would experience after the battle. The end of the battle is not what would tell whether you will triumph or not. You don't find out whether you will triumph after the battle. Are you together with me? You don't find out whether you will triumph after the battle. You step into every battle knowing that you will triumph. Amen. So you must rework your mind to have the information of triumphing, not as the end of battle. It's a work you need to do, you know, on your mind. Every battle must be like they're watching the replay of an already played match that has no possibility of changing outcome. Are you with me? If Liverpool beat what did they beat us now? 4-0 at the Man U. If Watford beat Man U 4-1, if you rewatch it today, whatever you watch has no capacity for adjustment. It can't be adjusted. If you watch that game 1 million times, it can't be adjusted. If everybody came together and desired an adjustment, If the old world wants an adjustment, there won't be an adjustment. Why? It's the outcome has already been determined. Praise God. Just like you playing a game and you're playing a football game, maybe a FIFA or on PS5, and you're playing a game, there will never be a time where the players will feel like bouncing the ball and shooting into a football, into a basketball net. That capacity was not put inside the programming of the game. Are you together with me? The same way, the leading of Christ, the possibility of a defeat was not installed in it. So when you are losing, you are playing a different game. If you're truly engaging, and that's why he says that he leads us. If he is leading, the possibility of a loss does not exist. It wasn't installed in the game. Are you with me? And that's why the enemy would many times want you to step out of leading, because that is the only time you can lose. Are you together with me? The only challenge many of us have is that sometimes even when we are led, we are behaving like the game has two possibilities. No, that is how to engage the leading of the Spirit. Or when I mean the leading of the Spirit, I'm not just only talking about the leading of the Spirit in the context of God telling you what to do. I'm talking about just the life of the Spirit. Are we here? The possibility of loss does not exist. Now you need your mind to know that the possibility of loss does not what? Exist. In fact, the apostle took it so far and he had the effrontery to say all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. The apostle had the effrontery to say how many things? All things. That is to say, if a war broke out, for example, in this city, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, it will work out for what? For good. So this must mean that no matter the situation, no matter the battle in front of me, if I find out the position of Christ, and I stay in Christ's position, it will lead in victory. One. Yes, two, it also means that I must always look for glory in every situation I find myself. Because that is the perfume of divine victory. The divine victory smells of glory. So it means that in all your situations, you must look for what? Where is the glory? And you must push for the glory. Are we together here? Don't investigate the sin. Investigate for the glory. You remember the guy who was blind and they asked who sinned? Was it him that sinned or his parents? And so the disciples had a mindset that when there is a challenge, let's investigate the sin. Jesus has a mindset, when there is a challenge, let's investigate the glory. There are two mindsets. One was investigating the sin. And you see, finding out the sin does not necessarily bring a solution. It just makes you comfortable in defeat. You have an explanation for defeat. And there are some of you here who are going through some situations in life. You have looked for the sin and you are comfortable in defeat. And sometimes you say, I deserve it. Yeah. Yeah. And so you're in a bad place and then you investigated the sin. And after investigating the sin, you now rationalized the defeat. But instead of investigating the sin, you need to investigate what? The glory. Because there is, if it's your life, there's glory. Because that is the vision of harvest that God has over your life. The only vision God has for you is glory. God is not imagining your defeat. Your defeat is not part of divine vision. God has a vision for your life, and it's glory. So he's looking to harvest glory. And so it must mean that there is always a glorious narrative in every situation we find ourselves. That everything, your upbringing, the calamities that happened, you must look for the glory. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
The reason you are like this is not only because your father is irresponsible. That is investigating the sin. You also have to find out why did it happen? Why, now that it happened, what is God going to do with it? Because it's not the God that calls light into darkness. It's the God that calls darkness out of light. So every dark place is light factory. There is light in every darkness, if you would allow God call it. So there is no darkness that isn't incubating light. So there's no dark experience you've had that God cannot bring light out of. There is light stored even in your dark experiences. And so instead of investigating darkness in darkness, you can search for glory in darkness. Are we together, friends? So eventually, no part of your life deserves to go to the waste bin. There is no waste in your life. Even if you decided to take 5 years of your life and waste it, if you come to Jesus, you'll find out that out of those 5 years you wasted, you'll find glory there. There will be a lesson out of that life that the Spirit of God will always be able to ride through. So I must have the attitude or the inner construct to always look for glory. Praise God. Always look for glory. Always. Always look for glory. You must have the ability to turn things around for your good. After darkness, when a bad experience happens, when anything negative happens, that's when the first one happens. Out of that experience, the next thing you should look for is glory. Don't investigate darkness again. You must have that ability to always turn dark times. You must have a conversion mechanism. This is not deceiving yourself. This is the truth. I'm not asking you to feel good about bad things. I'm telling you that actually you can, like, it's a fact. There's this scripture we like to read from Isaiah 54. One of our favorite scriptures, even as a house. Are you there? Praise God. What was the first sentence? I finish it now. All right. Are we together here? Are we together here? So, the experience of being barren does not require singing. Are you together with me? I don't know if you allow me to preach to you. Because there is a reaction that situation is desiring from you. Are you together with me? There's a reaction. Now, that reaction that situation is requiring from you is the training, is darkness tutoring you. Let me explain it to you. If you are experiencing, for example, say, lack, poverty. Poverty is the experience. Poverty is teaching you something and wants you to become a type of person. So, you now become greedy or you become a thief. Now, poverty is the first darkness. Your reaction is the true colonization of darkness. Are you with me? Now, your reaction is your choice. It's not a must. But you see, it is more natural to react to the emotion that dark experience is giving you. But you are a spiritual being. You must now learn to look for glory. And when you look for glory, you cannot have a counter reaction. Immediately you have a counter reaction from the expectation of Satan, you're already above him. Yeah. You see, because a lot of us are believers in our spirit, but we're not believers in our activity. You get the point now? We are very emotional and we are so predictable. Satan can do this and expect your next reaction. And it's not meant to be to be so. Jesus experiencing his most horrific moment on the cross, and he had the strength to say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Yeah. Now, the only reason why he could do that was that even in his dark moment, he was looking out for glory. And the Bible told us in the book of Hebrews that he was actually looking out for glory. Because that was where we learned that he despised the shame and endured the cross. And he told us why. He said, because of the joy. That was what? That was set ahead of him. Is it joy? Huh? Yeah, that was set ahead of him. Are we together here? So it means that in that experience, he was aware of the glory. Am I preaching here? So what are you aware of? Is it the darkness or the glory? So, in other words, so for the joy, that is to say, he was able to see and feel beyond what he was experiencing. My prayer for you is that you will be able to feel and see beyond what you are experiencing. Amen. Yesterday, or was it the first day, my wife asked me a question and said, because there was something that we're trusting God for, and she was like, hope you don't feel bad. I told her, I looked at her, I said, babe, I'm immature in many, many regards. But on this particular issue, I've passed it. I'm immature, but on this particular one, I've passed it. So, sing, O barren. So, what should the barren ordinarily do? Cry, be sad. Those ones is the real intention for barrenness. The reason for the barrenness is not don't have child, is that be a person that is sad. That's the plan. The plan is be a person that is what? That is sad. You see, that is what, it's not barrenness that makes you a child of Satan. It's sadness that makes you a captive. That's the real captivity. So the first darkness is to invite you into his jail. Come to my jail. And then if you investigate darkness more, you'll be taking steps into the jail. You say, why? Why am I going through this? Why? Is it me that sinned? You are entering the jail. because you will have legitimate reason for your sorrow. So the prophet is now teaching us by the Spirit of God that is not true. The barren can sing. And not just, it says, sing, O barren. Are you together with me? And the man went to the extra point and says, break forth into singing. The first one is a decision. The second singing is an experience. It's a baptism. Like you hit a gusher that is completely contrary to what you are going through. You see, I need to see you and be unable. You know, sometimes you see some people, it's easy to prophesy to them and say, whatever you are going through, because they are obviously going through. I said, no matter the dark period, sorrow lasts for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Because you can see it. It's easy to prophesy to them. I just say, your sorrow days are over. You say, hey, yes, sorry. Yes, but there is something called break forth. You have a mega experience, a mega spiritual experience that contradicts your natural experience. Where you are no more aware of your poverty. This is one of the manifestation of to be filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are unaware. Are we together, friend?
Yes.
To be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have you ever met a drunk man that is poor? Have you ever met a drunk man that is poor? No. Until the shark goes, before he can remember his poverty. I've never met a drunk poor man. The poor man is wealthy. You know, the legendary musician made a statement, I remember. Don't let me tell you that statement. Listen, if you get high on the most expensive wine, or most of it beer, or you get high on ogogoro, the feeling is the same. That's why the guy say high na high. Do you know that poet that said that? I'm telling you the truth. An ancient poet said that. Yeah, friends. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are no longer aware. Your awareness is a sign that you're not filled. Yeah. You have to pursue filling of the Holy Spirit. Because it is in that place that God sustains you till your miracle comes. It guards you. It keeps you in that place. Sometimes I go back and look at when we pass, Pastor. I know it happens to you too. When we look at where we were having church before at that building in Dankaro, and I look at that building, I'm like, you mean we were here? And people will sit down on that dirty staircase snapping picture. Bolade did one with our two sticks. And you mean we were here? Friends, we were there, but we were more in the Spirit. And so we were in the Spirit, not aware of our experience. When you are too aware of your experience, you are caught out of the spirit. It's a proof. You can't wake up every morning and remember your darkness. You need to. But you see, the first thing is to sing. So the first thing is to make a decision that is contrary to your experience. Make a decision. Tell somebody, sing. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
You have to make a decision that is contrary to experience. Husband and wife, you must learn to sing. Sometimes your marriage is not giving you the feeling that you want it to give you, but you are still going to go ahead and do the right thing. That is to sing. Some of you, if you don't feel like you don't do it, Satan likes you that way. You don't feel like, I'm not just feeling it, I'm not feeling up to it. You don't feel like loving your wife. I don't just feel like, I take a break. Sing. You first sing before you break forth into singing. The breaking forth is when the Holy Spirit then comes and takes over. Yeah, the Holy Ghost takes over. But it starts by doing the right things and speaking the right things. And that's why when you are serious with these things, you wouldn't even joke anyhow. Like you won't accommodate negative jokes. Because the negative jokes have a way, it's a skillful way of breaking down your defense mechanism. Yeah. Satan knows if it comes to you seriously, you will say no. If Satan tells you you will be poor, you will say no. But if he tells you to joke with supper, you will accept it. If it comes with honor and say, you will be poor, poverty has taken over, you say, I reject it. But I say, you are a foolish person, but you don't know. You are under attack, unaware. Because the point is to bite you, just little. If I can't hit you once, then I can take you on a journey by just taking you out piece by piece. And after a while, poverty will make sense to you. And whatever makes sense to you, you own it. Anything that makes sense to you is your own. Anything that makes sense to you is your own. A lot of you, poverty makes sense to you. I'm not saying you reject or don't reject. It's not enough. Does it make sense to you? Until the thing is not making sense to you, you are not yet free. Until it becomes a strange concept. Until you can no longer rationalize it. Until your common sense cannot explain it. Praise God. I beg, let me wear that suit. This, I don't know where they put it. This is... How are people coping? I feel cold already. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So sing. So the barren can sing. So please don't think you don't have a choice. Let me tell you how I began to train myself in things like this. I trained myself in things like this by not getting frustrated when I get to the door and I find out that the key has been misplaced or the key is not there. Yeah, this is where I started training myself. There is a frustration when you get to your door and the key, you can't open the door. Anybody you talk to that period, you... Anybody talk to you, say, why did you bring the key? Nothing will make sense again. Even the person says that thief catch me, say, why would thief catch you? nothing makes sense. because you are in the bondage of your frustration. You can relax and you can talk calmly and nicely. You see, if you cannot win one key, you can't win key. Just you didn't find key to enter. You couldn't win it. What will you win in life? That's one of the least challenges you face in life. Are you at the last day, Amy? Practice talking soft in the presence of supposed frustration. Practice it. You can. You don't have to feel like it. I'm outside though. Where's the key? When are you bringing it? And tell the person, sorry, you're straight. Yeah, practice it. You are training your soul. It's for your own good. You're training your soul. Because the challenges of life, this is the least you will face. Somebody forgetting the key is the least challenge in life you will face. Or did they open the door early for you? You are carnal. What happened? What's everybody? That's how, every time, that's how. You are carnal. You are a carnal person. You are not a warrior. You are not in the army. Yeah. Because you have no capacity to calm your emotion and allow your spirit to lead you. You don't make choices. Choices are made for you. Your feelings determine your actions. So you are a carnal person. I tell you the truth. These are the places you express spirit. Spirituality is real and practical. The lowest expressions of spirituality happen during service. That's the lowest expression. Tongues, interpretation are the lowest expressions of spirituality. It is how you are able to manage your emotions and make the right choices in the face of contradictory experiences. That is how I know you're spiritual. So, you see, but the breaking forth, that mega experience will not happen if you haven't made a choice to sing. What does it mean to sing? You make a choice to do what you don't feel like doing. You don't feel like doing. You come to church sometimes when you don't feel like it. Praise God. Because there are many things in life. As you go in the journey of life, you are going to face a lot of experiences that you will feel like stopping what God doesn't want you to stop. If you haven't practiced, are you together with me? You will just be crashing things and say, I don't feel like again. You know how many people leave relationships and marriages that are divine? Because they don't feel like. Praise God. They don't what? They don't feel like. They say, I don't feel like. Just leave. Poop. And the question is, where will you? You see, the question you need to ask yourself is, where will you go to? If where God led you to is this stuff, how shall where God did not lead you to, how shall it be? that's why some people enter a chain of crisis. It starts from one major point of safety that they left, and then they enter a chain of what? Of crisis. And my friends here, single, barren, you have, you who have not born, it's not the natural thing you should do. It's not the normal reaction, but react different. Then you will break forth into singing and you'll cry aloud. And cry aloud, you who have not labored. That cry aloud is not cry as per tears. It's like scream, break out. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. Is that true? It's not an easy truth. It's a truth that can only sit in your spirit when you have had a supernatural experience. Are you together with me? What's the point here? The point here is that you have to learn to sing and break forth till your life gets information from a higher realm. Are you together with me? So the point is, even though you are here, you are living in another reality. Are you getting my point? There is another reality. There is a divine vision. You are no longer doing math like men. You are no longer saying 1 + 1 = 2 and all of that. You are engaging from a different spectrum. Are you with me? You have light from a different plane and a different place. And this is the only way we can actually walk with God. Because you see, when you walk with God, God doesn't think like men. So you can't walk with God when your thoughts are basic. Are you together with me? God doesn't say so tomorrow. When we eat, we'll eat beans this morning. In the afternoon, I will try. I'll provide you yam. Ale shasha mau. Olong aepwa. God does not have those kind of conversations with us. His conversations are mega and huge. That you can be experiencing lack of food and God is talking about feeding the nations. And they're saying, so I'll be sending you to. So this is how we're going to do it. So Australia is going to have a crisis. Now you are going to set up an NGO and this is what we're going to do. The children, the motherless people of that's how he talks. But you need a spiritual breakthrough to have that kind of experience. Listen, a lot of you are not talking to God. You are talking to your needs. You have been having communion with your problems. Because the man talks God. That's his language. God's language is God. The man doesn't talk small things. I said, don't worry, we'll gather some more money. When we gather that money, we'll buy this thing. We'll, you know, so, tobatikoli, washa, one bedroom, maybe two palo. Washa, tojuri, esibe. He does not know how to talk like that. He does not know how to talk like that. He doesn't, your father doesn't. Have you ever had that kind of prophecy? Where somebody came to you and said, you know, God said, he will give you this, that don't worry. After that, talking small. Have you ever had that kind of prophetic experience? Thus saith the Lord, lunch will come. He doesn't say those things. Abraham had to pause him. Abraham had to pause because the man was just talking, you know, you're going to be the father of nations. Wait. Wait! Is this how you look at me? I'm going childless. Wait! Stop! He said, hey, you don't have a child yet? Yes! I tell you. By the time the guy was just talking, God was just talking, he said, calm down! I don't have a child. He has already changed the guy's name. The guy's name is Father. He doesn't have a child. He says, that father is not accurate. He says, he's Abraham, father of many nations. Nations, I don't have tithe. You are talking of nations. That is how your father talks. That's how your father talks.
Yes.
Now you need to have fellowship with that kind of father. Yeah. And you start by learning to sing. Say the right things. Always perfect the art of saying the right things. Don't joke with the wrong things. Have you ever seen God validate somebody's stupidness and say he was joking? Don't joke with the wrong things. Don't joke with things that contradict your values and your essence. Are we together, friends?
Yes.
Then when that happens, you break forth into singing. You have a supernatural experience where you are living from that realm. Praise God. It's good to live from that realm. Friends, I don't live in the normal realm. I tell you the truth. I don't do game. I don't do game in the normal realm. I don't live. I've had a breakthrough beyond my logic. Are you together with me? I don't even live according to my means, because I don't even know what my means is anymore. What's my means? I don't know my means. I'm just led. I can be led to give you what I can't afford. It's leading, you see, because my income continues. After you have checked what's in my account, then you have to continue. That's not the end. That's not the only bank that I have. After you have checked what's in my account, then you now have to check what's in his account. Because that is where it's actually flowing from. The account that I have with Access is not the main. It's not the main account. It's just the account where they lodge running expenses. The real account is with God. So I don't conclude life with the one in Access. And I don't plan my life with what's in Access. I plan my life with the one that is there. The reason why it's difficult for you to give is that you thought you are giving your all. How can you give your all? You mean you gave your all? Did you check your account there? And the reason why many of you are not enjoying that account is because you have blocked yourself from it, and then you have told him, this is my only account. But when your spirit opens and you tap into that account, you see, in that account, when they feel like they can give you what the natural account gives you for 10 years, they can give you in one night. What you are planning to grow into in 15 years can be sorted in 5 minutes, in 3 minutes. Yeah. So you have to, as you are practicing how to manage all your financial strategy, which is not a sin, as you are practicing, make sure it's not disturbing you from accessing the main account. Are we here? It says, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. Who said that? Says the Lord. So that thing, says the Lord, is beyond a prophetic word. It is a reality encoded in your being that makes you see life from what God has said and from what God is saying. That is to say, you have capacity to feel different. Different from how you should normally feel. Are you together with me? You have capacity. You are from a very terrible background, but you just feel different. Are we here? You just feel different. You just feel different. And sometimes you want different. And people are wondering, why does this person want this much? The father doesn't have it. The mother doesn't have it. But you see, you want it because the Lord has put another reality inside you. So your want is not based on where you are coming from naturally. Your want is inspired. You are you are wanting this because of a new inspiration that has entered into your space. Oh my God, I love the kingdom. a new inspiration enters your space and you just want some. I'm wondering, this guy, nobody in your family, nobody in your village is having this kind of desire, but another thing has entered. It's called says the Lord. Says the Lord. Says the Lord. It's another reality. Some of you just want to get all the young men, you know, saved and all the young people, you know, born again. You just want to, you know, lead a mighty youth teen revival or adult revival or whatever. Some of you just have these strange desires. It's because says the Lord is already permeating your soul. And you no longer have the need to live for personal survival and all of that because another reality has been encoded. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
And that should be where you live from. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Friends, are we here?
Yes, sir.
So you no longer can judge me or understand me by checking my family background. You will miss it. You can't check my family background. You can't go meet my father and find out who I am, or meet my mother and find out who I am, or go to my city or go to my nation. Because another information has stepped in. Another information. Another desire.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
I remember when I got married, people were wondering, some were wondering, why is he marrying? Why is he married? Now, why is he married? But I was just hearing different. Life was becoming so serious inside me that I knew that I needed, you know, a wife to do life with. Some of my brothers were just wondering, last born, why is he married? I said, I'm ready to marry. I'm ready. The Bible says that you need an helpmeet. It's not good for man to be alone. When they give you work, you need a woman to help you. I was just ready. Why? There were dreams in my spirit put in there by God. If I don't marry, what will I do? What will I be doing? If I do not marry, what will I be doing? Let me not go here because I will abuse some people in this church. Let me just. Ringi is already enjoying this message. I don't want to spoil this message for him. Because he's the one I want to strike immediately. Strike him. The guy is annoying me, I'll tell you. He's annoying me. He's the only one my anointing is not working on. He's annoying me. Whenever I see him in church, I just get this anger, this holy anger. Let me leave him. Let him not distract my preaching. Are you with me, friends? Something else just steps into your spirit. Something else. I like people who are hearing something else. I like people who are not hearing what they are going through anymore. They hear something else. Can God solve your problem? And you're like, oh, that problem still exists. God, I didn't know. Thank you. Yeah. Possible, man. Possible, friends. Actually, that's how it's meant to be. You're just so lost in what he's saying. And then you didn't even know that there was darkness. And then he says that more are the children of that barren. So she's even behaving like. And people are wondering. And when you look at the one who has children and the one who doesn't have children, you will naturally say the one who doesn't have has. Because of her outlook and her assurance and her confidence. Oh my goodness, I just love this. Can we check it again? And then I'll just move to somewhere else. Next verse, please. Enlarge the place of your tent. Praise God. You see, the challenge is that when you focus on your darkness, you won't hear his progress. There is a progressive conversation God is having with you, that your darkness is a distraction. Are you together with me? Because what you call impending challenge or impending problem might not be what is the conversation in heaven. There is a different conversation sometimes. And God is talking about enlarging your tent. And you are talking about children. God is saying, enlarge your tent. No, right now you are meant to be enlarging your tent. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
so you must find out what is God saying. Because sometimes you are in the greatest season of your life, but distracted by one particular crisis. Whereas you are in the greatest moment, but you can't see that moment because you are locked down by what's not working. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I know I'm preaching fine. Listen, when I go preach this message in Canada, they will appreciate what I'm preaching. It's very difficult to preach to you people. Very difficult. I've gone through too much in life, and I need to do a lot. I'm telling you, I wish I was the audience and the preacher. I would behave differently. I wish I can preach and go and sit down and react and come again. And pick the mic, say something again, and go and sit down. Pick the mic and say something. Then you find out, because I'm the one preaching, I'm doing better than you in preaching. I'm doing better than you in reacting. Well, what are you doing here? And I'm not sure you would do well in offering self. So why did you come to church? Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. This is how he speaks. There's something wrong with you if you are not feeling like do not spare. There must be something you are hearing called do not spare. Must be consistent. What's that thing God is asking you to expand? Yeah. There's that thing. I tell you the truth. There's one thing God is saying, expand more. Yesterday, Desola was talking to me, and I was thinking in my mind, because I was really looking at her while she was talking, and I was thinking in my mind that how come she doesn't know that I'm not really listening? Like, that was what I was thinking. I said, wow, this woman is really, what kind of skill is this? So she doesn't know I'm not listening. And after she finished speaking, she said, I just said what I want to say. I know you're not listening to me. I'm telling you, it was so funny. She said, I just said what I want to say. I know you're not listening to me. Bye. Whereas at the same exact time, I was like, how come she doesn't know I'm not listening? That's what I was thinking. Like, how come? She doesn't even know I'm not listening. Man, she's so into what she's saying. She doesn't know I'm not listening. I know you're not listening to me. I just said that. She said, well, I want to say bye. I finished talking. You know what I was going through at that moment? I've been in a season of a major expansion. And I'm locked up in it. Yeah. I'm locked up in it. So locked up in it. Giving out some of my devices because I just want to expand. Yeah. Because that's what the Lord is saying to me. He says, expand. And that thing has just held me down. Sometimes I go days and I don't even know I've not eaten. And I've not decided to fast. Because there's an expansion going on. And I even think I'm not giving it enough attention. This morning I was thinking, where can I go to? Where can I go? I need to focus. Where can I go? I'm thinking, I need like 3 days, 4 days. And just expand and conclude on some things that God is saying to me and let it be made flesh. Because if you capture it into your soul, it will happen in your life. Are you with me, friends?
Yes, sir.
Are my friends still here?
Yes, sir.
So that's the first point, in that you have to learn to sing when you don't feel like. And you sing till you burst, you break forth into singing. That is a baptism of the Spirit, a filling of the Spirit that makes you unaware of your crisis. And the third thing that will do to you is that you get an accurate refocus. You focus on what God is focusing on. And that's what happens. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
I said, are we here?
Yes, sir.
Listen, the only way you are going to have a future with God is if you spend your now focusing on what he's telling you to focus on. That's the only way you can preserve your future. If you don't focus on what God is saying you should focus on, and you only focus on what you are going through, you wouldn't have a future. Because What I think focus does is that it's like planting a seed. That's the only way seeds can be planted. You need focus to plant a seed. Are you together with me? You need what? Focus to plant a seed. You can harvest without focus, but you can't plant without focus. You can harvest anyhow. But to plant is a lot of focus. It is tougher to plant than to harvest. Tougher to plant than to harvest. Harvest is you can stray into harvest. You can do anyhow in harvest. But to plant, what do you need? Focus. You have to focus. You have to bend down. You have to till the ground. You have to set everything. You can't harvest and party. You can't plant and party. You can harvest and party. Are you together with me? But to plant, you have to be planting. You can't plant and do many things at the same time. Planting is difficult. You have to calm down. Farmer, am I correct? That's a real farmer. It's a real farmer. Yeah. I'm correct, Abby? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It takes a lot of focus. You clear the ground. You do a lot of stuff. Are we together here? Are we here, friends? You clear the ground. You check the seed, the quality of the seed. Harvest, you can enter your harvest field anyhow. I say, boys, go enter. But not planting. You have to learn to sing. Make a choice. Huh? Tell somebody, make a choice.
Make a choice.
Make a choice. Make a choice. Sometimes you have to look at marriage, for example. You have to look at your spouse and things are not working. And just go, we're going to be fine.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're going to be fine. We're going to get it right. Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah, we're going to get it right. You don't feel like it. But you just make a choice. Glory be to God. Now, quickly, let's run, right? I've said about 3-4 things, but let's run now as I begin to tie things up. Are you blessed by this? All right. So, I remember that I was looking at this conversation again from another aspect when I began to tell you about the story of David and the taking away of Goliath. Are we together here? And then we began to talk about challenges, right? We began to talk about challenges. And I remember on Wednesday I made a point about challenges, and I was letting you to understand that. The first point you need to know, which I started this conversation with, is about how he leads us always in victory, right? Somebody say always.
Always.
So that's the plan of God. The victory can be always. The victory should be always. For you, don't imagine victory as an after experience of battle. Do you understand? You must have a victory complex before, during, and after battle. A victory complex. Have a what? Have a victory complex. Carry a victory complex in life. Carry. I don't care where you are. You must carry a victory complex. If you are in Christ, you must have a victory complex. Things work in your hands. Uh-huh. Things are restored in your hands. Dead things come back to life in your hands. Bad things turn good in your hands. So, and good things get better in your hand. That's who you are. Are you together with me? That's you. Are you with me? But the reason why God allows challenge is that victory is not static. There is victory for victory unto victory. God wants your victory to increase because favor increases, grace increases. Are you together with me? So because of that, God allows challenges. So, you see, but when a challenge comes, a challenge doesn't come to tell you that, hello, I'm victory in some type of way. I'm the next level of victory. It doesn't come that way. Challenge comes and it comes to tell you that there is a possibility of not getting victory. That's the inspiration of a challenge. But don't allow the inspiration a challenge brings to you. Don't allow it. That every challenge you face, actually, from where you are coming from, there is no defeat. So you must interpret your challenge from the knowledge of where you are coming from, which is that he leads me to victory always. So immediately you see a challenge, don't permit the fear a challenge wants to bring. You see, because challenge comes with fears. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
challenge comes with fear. In fact, this is how we should train our children when we start our schools. This is how we should train our children when it's time for exam. We must make the children know that the reason for exam is because there is promotion. That's the only reason for exam. And there is no big deal about an exam. An exam is just for you to repeat what you have been told. If we taught our children this way, they will feel differently about writing exams. That the reason why you are writing this exam is that we have told you a lot of things that has made this class unnecessary for you again. And that you know too much, you have to go to the next class. And so we're going to give you an exam to prove that point. The point we already know, because if we don't know that point, we won't set exam date. We set exam date because we finish curriculum. We finish curriculum. The curriculum is now inside you. And so tell us what we have told you. And that's why the Bible says that there will never be any time a temptation comes your way that is bigger than you. It's in scripture. It says nothing is coming your way that is bigger than you. It means that temptation is proof that that God has finished work inside you. If capacity was not in you, the temptation will never come. So there is nothing that comes that God knows you can't deal with it. And so heaven is shocked when you back out. Everybody is shocked. We are shocked when you back out. Because the reason we allow, God says, if you didn't have capacity, I will never allow it. I will never allow it. And so if you think you married a crazy husband, even if you are true, God knows you can manage a crazy husband.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. This is like your yes, sir, was too. It was too high. And it was only you that said that. We'll talk about this. That's bad. So even if you married a great husband, I said even if you marry a great husband. I tell you, God knows that you have capacity. Friends, are we here? He knows you have capacity. I tell you the truth. You have capacity for that crazy woman you think you have married. God knows you are mature enough to manage her. Yeah, he knows. He knows. But you have no reason to back out. So you have to look at that person and say, oh girl, it will work. Oh boy, it will work. This thing will work. We'll get it right. You have capacity. And so instead of investigating the darkness and saying, how did I end up with this girl? How? You see, you are only going to find a logical explanation for your defeat. You must look for the glory place, right? So talking about challenges right now, we have about 10 more minutes. And so challenges is, you face a challenge because there is a promotion, right? There's a promotion, and that's why you're facing a challenge. And that must be how you face challenges. Promotion. And so those who have consistent promotions are those who have consistent challenges. Comes. But when it comes, just know, I'm about to be promoted again. Yeah. Find out what's God saying. Find out what's God saying. One of the ways to know what God is saying is be sure of what God is not saying. Some of you say you haven't heard God, but you have heard what God is not saying. God is not saying worry. So by doing what God is not saying, you are doing what God is saying. By making sure you don't do what God is not saying, you are doing what God is saying. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be abusive. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be greedy. I'm not going to scheme. Yeah. just going to be here till I get an order from God. And when I get that order, all of you are in trouble. God knows me. When he talks to me, mankind is in trouble. I just wait for him to talk. When he talks to me, but before he talks, I just do make sure I don't do what he's told me not to do. Are we together here? There's something I want to say. I'm getting there. And that's where I'm going to wrap it all up, at least for today. So, you must be alive and be strong when you face a challenge. You see, there is no defeat as sure as when you back out of a challenge. You couldn't have won a battle you ran away from. It's sure defeat. If you want to play a football match and you don't go to the stadium, they give the opponent 3 points. You have lost. You have definitely lost. But if you have played, you could have won. But for us, it's not we could have won. We always win. You see, there's no possibility for defeat. It can't happen. And you already know why. I've told you why many years ago. One of the things I told you why you can't be defeated is that, you see, the worst defeat in life, the worst thing Satan can do is death. Both spiritual death or physical death. That's the worst thing Satan can do. But you see, the life that is inside you started after death. You don't get the point. Let me explain this to you. You see, Mary and Martha told Jesus concerning Lazarus. They told Jesus, they said, if you had come earlier, Lazarus would not have died. What's the implication? That after death, there is no solution. That things can go bad, there can be solution. But when death has happened, then that defeat is permanent. But what God now did was that the life inside you, it was after death it started. So it was after the death of Jesus Christ, then he now resurrected from death. You understand? You see, the life of Jesus before death was powerful. If that was what we have, it's still great. But he went through death, then started. So your beginning point is after death. Are you getting the point now? So that's why every challenge is a sure meal. Because the worst challenge, which is death, is where I started living from. That was my day one. I opened up to the day, I opened my eyes the day after death. The other side, that was when I opened my eyes. So I was born again. The day you opened your eyes, it was the first thing you came into contact with is the joy after the defeat of death. Death has been defeated. So that's why the apostle said, oh grave, where is your sting? That's the point. That was what the apostle Paul was saying, that we have dealt with grave. Finished it. So there is no challenge that has capacity to drown you. You are the one drowning it. Oh my goodness. You don't understand the capacity inside. You have, tell somebody, I carry something. I carry something. Listen. And that's why Satan cannot deal with you until he discusses with you. Until you believe him, he can't win you. Satan needs your faith to win. Satan does not win you on the basis of his power. He wins you on the basis of your agreement. He needs your faith. Listen, if he had power, he wouldn't be tempting you. He wouldn't be talking to you. He wouldn't be deceiving you. He would just deal with you. He needs you to reject what God has told you and accept what he has saying to you for anything to happen to you. It's not. Oh, my goodness. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, AIDS, where's your victory? What's the next part? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Lord. All these things the Lord has dealt with. Are we here? Take me to David. We won't be able to look at Elijah and Elisha again, but let's round off with David and I'll be good. So when you look at, can I preach it? Let me try this again. When we look at, are we together, friends? Just give me that place where David began to talk about his CV. I want to explain something to you. I want to round off here. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has devoured the armies of the living God. Now, before that, he first said that, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Then he now began to talk about his experience. And are you listening to me? And the experience he spoke about was his victory over the lion and over the bear whilst he was protecting his father's flock. Now, the battle he was engaging, the current battle, was not a battle against an animal. It was battling a human being, a giant at that. And this man, the CV he dropped was his CV of how he dealt with animals. How do you want to fight a human being who is a giant? And you are not saying, I've killed giants before. He said, I've killed animal before. You see, one thing you must always do is this. One of the ways you evoke the spirit of victory is to learn to store your past victories. A lot of you don't do that. And that's why, let me explain this to you. Did you notice that anytime you have a testimony, that Satan always wants to devalue your testimony? Every time. He says, it's because you know somebody dear, Jerry. It's not that deep. It's not that deep. You know somebody. Is that why you try to spiritualize everything as if God came from heaven? If you didn't know that person, would you have gotten it? Why? Because he doesn't want you to have reference. Because victory is not just victory. Victory is armor. Victory is armor. So bad enough that you've had the victory, he doesn't want you to now convert that victory to armor. And the reason for that victory is to store your armory. Your pain is not armor. It's your victory that is armor. There is no motivation in pain. What you have in pain is fear. So Satan wants to always mock it and say it's not that deep. It's not that deep. And they can now mention somebody's own and say that person's own is the real miracle. Your own is not the real miracle. But if you go and investigate and talk to that person will tell you that Satan is telling him that his miracle is fluke. Whereas Satan is telling you that that person's miracle is real. He doesn't want you to. He wants you to make light of your testimonies. And a lot of you do. And they, well, I just got this thing. Some of you have been praying for something all your life. You get it. And somebody asks you, you don't even want to testify about it. A lot of you don't even testify about things that God has done for you. Listen, I learned the art of making sure that I rejoice as much as I prayed. A lot of you pray hard for something. When it comes, you do it as if it's one of those things. And you cried for it. Listen, anything God has given you, you must keep reminding your soul that it was God that gave me. Say, Father, I thank you, Jesus. Anything you have. Say, Father, I thank you, Jesus. Whatever it is. Is it a job? Is it a healing? Father, I thank you, Jesus. Some of you used to fall sick like crazy before. And now you don't fall sick again and then you just see it's not one of those things. Tell God, Father, I thank you because things are not like before. I used to really fall sick before, but you have healed me. Yeah. A lot of you were way poorer than this. You were very poor. You used to trust God for food. Now you eat what you like. You have to learn to thank him and say, Father, I thank you. Some of you, all you wanted was a car in your life. Say, car, if I can get a car. Hey, God has done it. And then you got a car. That says, it's one of those things. Some of you cried that, will I marry? You were crying. You cried. God gave you one boy or one girl. And I said, marriage, it's not about marriage, it's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. You didn't know that when you were crying. Now you now have a man that is your own. You have a girl. You. That you'll be alone. You will be alone. You are crying. Sexual pressure wanted to finish you. Now you just have a girl now that you can sleep with anytime. You think it's not a big deal. Go and ask other people who have to go and have their bath and walk and do as if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you just call. Are you close? Call. As if you have something important to tell him. You have to be thankful. Why? Because you need the memory of victory to battle challenges. And it is through thanksgiving you can store victory. Store it. You didn't have a job before. You were frustrated. You didn't have a job. You just wanted to go home, go leave the house. There was nowhere to go. Yeah. But now you can. Now you have a job. Some of you didn't have a house, no accommodation. Now you have accommodation. You didn't have friends. Now you have friends. You didn't have. Don't measure your thanksgiving. Give all. Don't be stingy with it. If you want to shout, you shout. If you want to. Yeah. You need the memory of victory. Listen, there's nowhere you are in life that somebody is not praying to be there. Everybody here, you are somewhere. Somebody is praying to be. I'm telling you. And that's because of the goodness of God. He's been good to you. I see some of you, you are 23, 24, 25. You're already making a lot of money. I'm telling you, there are people 25 that are in GCE center. There are 30-year-old people struggling with jam. There's somebody doing one OND, one of since university somewhere. He's even doing part-time OND. He's already 42. There are NC students who are 45 wanting to have teaching certificate. And in that place, they are thankful. And you are just a young girl. You are a big girl, big boy. There is a lot to thank God for. The reason you are weak in the face of challenge is that you have forgotten the victories of the past. And David was going to face Goliath, and the only memory that he had was the memory of lion and bear. But guess what? Every victory experience is relevant for any challenge. You don't need to have fought a giant as the reference to fight another giant. Are you together with me? Every experience is relevant. So you can bring it into another scenario. Are you together with me? It's a relevant experience. And so if you passed WAEC, you can build road. It's relevant experience. Because the point was that it's not that you passed WAEC. The point was that it was God that made it happen. So the point is the God. So forget, because he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It was a spiritual matter. He now brought his experience into it. And he says, this God that did this in this industry, he will do it in another industry. If he did it in this sector, he will do it in another sector. He's not sector by us. Are you together with me? He's eternal, he's complete. He's Jesus. This is how you evoke the victory mood. The victory mood. So when next you face another challenge, get into your victory mood and check what has happened before. Because what has happened before is about to happen again. Again and again and again. Just go check it as something happened before. It doesn't have to be connected. It doesn't have to be connected. The God that provided Indomie can provide 10 billion. It doesn't have to be connected. It doesn't have to be connected. Oh my goodness. I feel like shouting. I feel like rejoicing. I feel like screaming. I feel like running. Oh, Baradegaya.